Welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. The three keys to your success is just moments away. Here's your host, Brian Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. We have got a phenomenal show lined up for you tonight because of our guest expert, Kim Doyle. She is coming on in just a few moments, I promise. So you want to take out some notepaper and pen and get ready for some value to be rained down upon you like you've never seen before. Amazing young woman who really is a phenomenal internet marketer and content generator. She is amazing. Breath of fresh air, if you ask me. The Mind Body Business Show, what is that all about? For those of you that might be new to the show, it all starts with the mind. And I like to call that the foundation upon which our lives are truly formed. You know, when I was younger, I finally got the bright idea of, instead of focusing on both those who were unsuccessful and those who were successful, is to just change my focus to only those that were successful, that I aspired to be. You know, I wanted the results they had, in other words. And so I started doing that. And a really interesting thing happened was, as I followed and worked with and read about these successful people, I started recognizing certain patterns developing that each and every one of them had. And I thought, well, I wonder if those patterns then would relate and translate into success for moi. And if it's going to work that way for me, which it has, then I can then help by portraying those qualities to the rest of the world, as many as we can reach. And so I came up with this concept of called the Mind Body Business Show, and the patterns. Those patterns were three of them, and you can probably guess what those are by now by the name of the show. It all starts with mind, which is mindset. Mindset. Every single person that I got to know in one form or another, either I worked with them like side by side on stage, spoke on stage, or I read many of their books, or I followed them from afar through other means, they all had a rock solid, powerful, positive mindset. And many of them had taken it to another level, where many of us know about and heard of and actually practice affirmations, something called affirmations, where you're always reading in front of the mirror out loud to yourself, starting off the day with an attitude of gratitude, everything you're grateful for. Fantastic, phenomenal resources to utilize. But what if you could actually reprogram your mind at the subconscious level? I mean, reprogram it to serve you better, and that you can still continue with those conscious activities. So such a science does exist, and it's called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short. And I'm not saying we will, and I'm not saying we won't go over that particular topic on this show. It's pretty organic. We just go with the flow because it works that the best that way every single time. And then we move into the body. The people that I found that were successful really do take care of their body. It doesn't mean they're all honed Adonises and supermodels. That's not what I'm saying. But what they do is they take care of the nutrition that they put into their body. You know, they're very cognizant of what they are eating and drinking. And they exercise on a regular basis. Whether that be 7 days a week or 2 days a week, it's consistent and discipline-oriented exercise of some kind. And the levels of exercise vary from person to person, but it is a vital and, you know, a pattern component of each of these successful people. And then there's business. Well, that's where many of us, well, oh yeah, okay, now let's talk. You know, it's things like marketing, sales, team building, scaling your business. Once you master all three, mind, body, and then all of the areas of business, then you are operating at what I claim to be a peak level of performance, which is where the name of my company came from, Reach Your Peak. So why not attempt to reach your peak in every aspect and avenue in life, not just business, which many entrepreneurs fall victim to. I am telling you that as a person that has gone and walked that walk myself. So no judgment ever on this show. And we're here to help. That's the whole purpose of this show, is to help you to get you the shortcut, if you will, to success. Why go through trial and error on your own when you can just model those that have already achieved a level of success? And You can always improve. I'm still improving in mind, body, and business every single day. That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. It never gets boring. And one of the things that reminded me of is, being an entrepreneur was many years ago. I was flown out to the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast. Had a nice big deal, a big fat contract we were going to sign and negotiate. And the gentleman who owned the company flew me out there, had me picked up in a limo, really cool experience, put me up in a hotel for a couple days. I spent 2 days in his office, very large corner office, of course, with a couch, all the amenities. It was like bigger than most people's apartments, I kid you not. And I just remember during one of those days, I was sitting on the couch. We were kind of, I guess, at a breaking point, not really exactly sure. It was many years ago. And he just looked at me. He's standing up and I'm sitting down. He's looking down at me. He goes, "Brian, you know, if people just did this one thing, if they just did this one thing, they would all be rich." And I'm like, "Wow, I wonder what that could be." And I'm like, "All right, what is it?" And so at that moment, he turned away from me and walked to the wall right directly behind him. And there stood a floor-to-ceiling cabinet, two doors. And he walked up to those two doors, grabbed both handles, opened them wide, and it looked very, very similar to what you see behind me right now. It was shelf after shelf after shelf of books. And we're not talking just any book. We're talking business books, sales, marketing, team building. We're talking personal development. We're talking mindset. We're talking exercise, nutrition. Everything was in this cabinet. And I did something that might shock many of you watching right now. I absolutely ignored his advice, 100%. I thought, that's no way. You've got to be kidding me. Reading books is the key to success? I mean, yeesh. I know a lot of people that read books. The key is the right kinds of books. And the other key is once you read it, you learn, but then you need to put into action what you've learned. And then you do. And then take it one step further and teach. But I didn't even go through the learning process. I waited years. Until thankfully, one day I'm with another mentor of mine, and I'm actually in his residence. Worked with him for several years, spoke from his stage, and he was walking around with headphones on. And I said, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he pulled his headphone away from his ear, and he says, "I'm listening to a book." And this was a while ago, and I said, "Well, what? What do you mean, listening to a book? I mean, I'm used to reading." And he said, yeah, and he told me all about it. You know, many of you know about it now. It's the app called Audible. There are others now out there, I'm sure. And I said, "Man, I got to check that out." And, you know, so this is my mentor, highly successful, who was walking around listening to a book, actively reading in that form. And I thought, wow, here's number two, another big smack in the face. "Brian, wake up, start reading." And I did. And I found that I loved listening to books versus reading a book where my eyes would get fatigued, you know, reading those pages, holding the book up. You know, you're always moving your body around. For me, I could just put on headphones or listen to it in the car, which is my main library mode of operation. And just started really absorbing amazing, amazing book after book after book. And I started compiling all of them into a library. And one of the beautiful things you can do in Audible is at any moment you hear something that really is game changer, that it's a point you want to go back to and re-listen to, you just tap a little icon and it stores a bookmark at that very location. So what we're going to do now is actually segue over into a little section I appropriately call bookmarks.
Bookmarks. Born to read. Bookmarks. Ready, steady, read. Bookmarks. Brought to you by ReachYourPeakLibrary.com.
Yes, and for those of you watching live or listening at this moment, please be sure to take notes. Stay with us, in other words. You're going to listen and hear about resources as we go through the show. Both from myself and from Kim, maybe websites, maybe other books to look up, other resources. Do hesitate to actually go searching for these things. Stay with us, take notes now, and then the recording is available. You can go back and watch or listen at any time, but take notes. Write down these resources. So this one in particular is ReachYourPeakLibrary.com. Write that down, take notes, whether you have a pen and paper or a notepad on your computer or whatever it's called on a Mac. I'm not sure because I'm a PC guy, sorry. Whatever it is. And Reach Your Peak Library, it's a website I put together 100% solely, completely, totally for you. For you, the entrepreneur, the busy business professional who may already be reading or maybe you haven't started reading. For either case, this is phenomenal because what this is a compilation of books I've read. Not every book I've read, just those that had a profound impact on me personally, whether it be through business, through personal development, or even through fitness. They're all in here, as you see them scrolling. And I put these together in this site so that you could at least recognize that one person you know has vetted these books. And that reduces your time in searching for books. If you are looking for the next book, look in reachyourpeaklibrary.com. You're bound to find one you have not read yet. If you're just starting, go and look. The first one that jumps off the page that looks decent, don't look at the rest. Just grab it. Go and start reading that first book. Go after it and do it quickly, right away. And what we're going to do is play a bookmark by a gentleman of the name Willie Jolly. Amazing, amazing gentleman. Discovered, if you will, by Les Brown. He's a musician by trade. Amazing, amazing entrepreneur. And he discusses something that I thought was very pertinent to our guest expert who's coming on in just a minute. And that is about how he handles anything that's called a setback. He says throughout his book, setbacks are a setup for a comeback. That's what a setback is a setup for a comeback. And nothing epitomizes that more than our guest expert who's coming on. I promise, I'm almost there. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a 1 minute or so snippet from Willie Jolly's book. So go ahead, listen really close. And again, take notes, listen to what he says. It's very important. Everything you hear on this show is high value. So take notes and take it to heart. Here we go. Take a listen.
In other words, he made it clear that setbacks are part of his daily routine, part of the deal if you're going after success. He shared his perspective on setbacks and how to turn them into comebacks. Everett said that he had had so many setbacks that it's hard to remember them all. Yet his perspective about setbacks is consistent with all the other people I interviewed. They view setbacks not as setbacks, but really as growth experiences, disguised as setbacks. He said, you know, the old saying is true. A problem is nothing but an opportunity in work clothes. And he said, if your reasons are strong enough, they will lead you to results. I said, tell me more. He said, focus on the why. Why? Why are you willing to do this? Why do you want to reach the goal? Why are you willing to go after those things that are uncomfortable to go after? Why are you willing to keep going in spite of the challenges? If the reasons are strong enough, you will become unstoppable.
It's time for the Guest Expert Spotlight. Savvy, skillful, professional, adept, trained, big league, qualified.
I'm not sure, Brian, really, I can't hear you.
How's that? Is that better?
There we go. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to type him really quietly.
There she is. I put it on mute so that people wouldn't hear me clear my throat. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you? Thank you for having me here.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. It's amazing to have you. I can't wait for everyone to really get your value that you're going to bring to the show. And it's going to be phenomenal. Cannot wait, cannot wait. There we go. Got some things back in order. So,
okay.
before we dive in, real quick for everybody watching live, be sure to stick around to the end because you'll have an opportunity to win a 5-night stay, vacation stay, at a 5-star resort in Mexico. And this is high value, not one of those where you go and you sit in for a timeshare. This is all yours. You get to do it for 5 nights. So stick to the end so you can participate in that and maybe win that trip. All right, real quick, Kim, she is formerly known as the WordPress Chick. She is an entrepreneur, a coach, a speaker, and a content creator. She has built her lifestyle business using WordPress, podcasting, creating content, and a commitment to just show up. She was widowed in 2003 with two small children. She was determined to build a business that allowed her to be at home while doing something she loved. Fast forward to today, and she runs the community Content Creators, is co-founder of the Content Creators Planner, teaches content marketing, and coaches entrepreneurs on growth through content strategies. I'm starting to notice a theme going on here. I love it. Kim, welcome on to the show. I want to ask you, so this is phenomenal. I'm so refreshed that you focus on content. It seems to me at times to be kind of a dying breed, if you will. You don't hear a lot about it. And the fact that there's somebody out there like you that coaches in it, is expert at it, and successful at doing so, I was just so excited to have you on the show. You have no idea. And so when you know, we now know about your background from kind of a superficial level, if you will, on the top level. If you wouldn't mind, real quickly, like, give a little people a insight in what makes you tick. Like, when you get up in the morning and it's time to get busy, you know, it's another day. What actually, you know, when your feet hit the floor, what motivates you to then continue and open your eyes, get up, stretch, and then go take on and tackle the day? What is that driving factor for you?
It's freedom. You know, it's funny. It's one of those things that you think about your why as an entrepreneur, and you look at, and obviously my kids were a big driving force in wanting to be home for them, but it, you know, your love of books, I have to tell you, I did spend 10 years in the book industry, Brian. I don't know if I told you that like years ago. So, you know, but I worked for other people for so long, and I always had this internal, there's something else I'm supposed to do with my life. And so it's that freedom. And there's been highs, there's been lows, but it's always been better than working for somebody else or having to commute, God forbid.
I love that. I asked a prior guest about what was it she loved most about being an entrepreneur. Same exact word. Was freedom. And that's, you know, why she loved being an entrepreneur, because the interesting thing is, a lot of people who don't understand, who are not yet entrepreneurs, who are maybe in the corporate world, who look out at entrepreneurs and hear things like that, might think, oh my gosh, wow, it's going to be a cakewalk. I want that. I want to just be free. So yeah. Let's be clear. It takes probably more effort, more drive, more intensity, more discipline than you could ever imagine being a corporate employee to be a successful entrepreneur. What that gives you is the freedom to choose how you build your business, where to build your business, and when to build your business. But it is no cakewalk. It's a lot of fun, depending on your chosen business. It can vary, but I just want to make that clear for those that may not be entrepreneurs watching right now. But I would highly, highly recommend it, because it's quite a ride. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think the other piece of that, Brian, is that you may not know out the gate, right? So freedom is always my driving force. And I joke that it's been this 11-year path. Like, the content marketing has really been only the last couple of years. I've always done it. But I mean, I had a full-on web agency. I had an outsourcing company. I did some coaching and stuff. But I feel like this is exactly what I was meant to do. And it took me 11 years to get here. I mean, I started a SaaS company that opened and closed. It's been plenty of this, right, up and down. But it was always that there's something else I'm supposed to do. And so one thing led to another. Because I don't know about you, but you see people in this space and it's like, oh my gosh, I want to do an online business. This is what I love. I'm gonna make a course and sell it. And it's like, well, you got it. There's so much in there. And I always say you get clarity through doing the work. Right? Like, if you master the fundamentals, you will get clear on that thing that you want to do. And so, yeah, I live by, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it, which is why I don't do websites anymore. That was never my intention. But yeah, it's doing it will get you where you want to go. It may take a year, it may take five, it may take 10, but it's not always right out of the gate. This is what I'm going to do, and it's going to start, and it's going to work.
That's amazing. I love that. You get clarity through doing that work, from doing the work. And that is, my gosh, that is so unbelievably true. I'm just thinking back about all the different things I have attempted, and I don't look back at any of them as being failures just because I moved to a different phase. I look at them as experience I built on that I am building on and using with each additional phase that I go through. So that's pretty awesome. And I'm sure you get to utilize your past experience that wasn't directly attributable to content marketing, but it was other things that you can use in helping to coach those who you come in contact with through contact marketing.
Yeah, I was in retail management for a bulk of my life, which was far too long. And I always say everybody should do it for like a week at Christmas because we'd all be much nicer customers. But it's through the doing. And the other thing is that, we were talking a little bit before the show, and there's something about this space, particularly with the internet, that people think it's supposed to be quick and, the shiny object and all of that. We've all had those discussions. And what I would say, it was probably, 2015, maybe, that I was like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to master the fundamentals. And I'm going to focus on the process. I'm going to focus on mastery. And as an example, one of the things I implemented, I don't do it today, but it was a daily email. And I just said, I'm just going to get better at this. And because when you join this space, you hear about learning to write good copy, engaging, building an audience, emailing your list, all these basic things, but it feels like, yeah. And people kind of poo-poo it because it's not, six figures of the webinar in 6 months or whatever. And so I think if we can get people to come back to this place within of who you become in the process of doing those things and mastering those fundamentals is priceless, because it sounds so silly. And I'm sure you've read the book. And now it's out of my head. He was one of the CEOs of Success Magazine, The Compound Effect, where it's that consistent small action. And so this email to me, I'm like, okay, I'm taking 20, 30 minutes. And I had been kind of following Ben Settle's, a great email marketer. And I'd been watching how he emailed for a year, every single day. And he sells a few things, but primarily he's selling a subscription to a physical email newsletter. But I just watched it and I paid attention. I'm like, oh, that was funny. Or I like that headline. And I thought, I'm just going to try this. It was crickets for a good 30, 45 days. And then all of a sudden, boom, people started unsubscribing. But I didn't care, because all of a sudden I'd instilled this level of trust within myself that A, I'm going to follow through on a commitment I made to me. And B, look what happens with small incremental consistent action. It literally reshaped my beliefs about a ton of things in this space and life in general.
Yeah, and with that comes this one word that it's like a four-letter word to some people, even though it's not physically four letters, but it's discipline, right? It takes a lot of discipline to do what you just did, because you can't see the end result, and you're not even sure what it's going to be at sometimes, and you hope somebody actually reads what you're doing, right? So there's all these unknowns, and if you just remain consistent, this is extremely valuable advice for everyone watching and listening. Write this stuff down, because I have been through that very same thought process in doing this very show, to be consistent, to do it every single week. There is so much time and effort and work that goes on behind the scenes to make this happen every week. So there are times come, I question, well, should I continue this? And then I'll, within a microsecond, I'm smacking myself saying, of course, because like you say, you just don't, it's the journey and the things you learn along the way. I get to meet phenomenal, amazing people like you. We've never met in person. We've never met out of person. We've before that. And we were talking just half hour before the show came on. And I feel like I've known you for 30 years. It's an amazing thing. And the beautiful thing is the relationships that I get to build, and the new connections that deep and existing connections that even further deepen. And I learn so much from each of you. I'm learning from you right now. And there's no way I can stop this. The positives far outweigh. Brian, how are you monetizing that show? It's like, it's about getting value out there. It's not about making money at every turn. Yes, there are times for it. The show, I chose not to be one of those arenas. Anyway, I go off on a soapbox, but thank you. You just sent off a flurry of thoughts in my brain.
Can I piggyback on what you
please,
just said?
Please, please.
So I had started the WordPress Chick podcast. It'll be 6 years. I pivoted to the Kim Doyle show. And it's funny, because the only reason I did it was because I wanted to have more fun. And I had always been an audiophile, right? Like, I was joking with you. I mean, I am the rudest person out in public because I don't hear anybody because I always have earbuds in. But the point being is I started the podcast because I wanted to have more fun. I was not attached to an outcome with it. I didn't care where it took me. I just said, I want to do this. I want to be consistent with it. And it's one of those things when you create media like this or you're creating a show that it's intangible. But same thing, the relationships I gained, I ended up with podcast sponsors down the road. I got coaching clients. I got website clients. And it gave me a level of credibility within my space. But more importantly, it totally helped me find my voice. Pun intended, right? But it helped me find my voice because I just show up as myself genuinely, authentically. And that's what blew up my brand. I'd already had the WordPress chick for 5 years, but doing the podcast, all of a sudden it was, I wasn't worried about what it was going to do. I just wanted to give. It's a massive value add. I mean, where else can you say, here, let me use my platform to share your message? I mean, it's such a win-win. And so it's that element of, you know, Gary Vee, I do like it, is always saying deploy patience. And it's, you have no idea where it's going to take you. But I think when the intention and the commitment is 100% behind you, you're not going to go wrong. You just have to trust and be patient.
Yeah. And that is it. Trust and be patient. And when we say be patient, that means be patient. Very patient. Because there'll be times like doing a podcast that takes a lot of time and effort to put together. You know, if you have a podcast where you're interviewing other people, you're setting up those interviews, you're vetting the people, it's a lot. It's a lot of background and work. And sometimes you just say, why? And I'm so glad I'm committed. And, you know, luckily it's only once a week. I don't have a crew working for me, you know, on show night. It's me, myself, and I'm director, producer, star, co-star, everything, writer, whatever you call it. And I love it. I'm absolutely loving this, especially because I get to not just meet people like you, Kim, but to share people like you. That's my, you know, I just so love helping people in any way. It doesn't have to come from me personally. I get to be a conduit by which others will get this intense value. You are giving an amazing amount of value already. We just started the show. And, I mean, we could end the show right now and value had been just, like I said before, raining down upon. Now, you come off to me as someone, you first of all, I love your presence. You have a lot of energy. I have a great, you just glow about you. You're always smiling, even when we were talking before the show. So who you see right now, everybody who's watching, this is her behind the curtain as well. So, you know, it can often be trying to always be upbeat because it really helps to be upbeat and positive minded when we're going about our daily business and lives. It just makes our business that much more successful. So when it comes to doing that, though, maintaining that positive, productive, and successful mindset, you know, on a daily basis, what do you do to sustain that day after day after day?
Yeah, I have a few things, and I'll tell you, you know, I joke around that I am What About Bob, right? Like, I still see my therapist that I found when I lost my husband because she's kind of become this life mentor to me, and she's taught me a lot. I mean, I've added meditation to my life, and, you know, where we were talking about audiobooks, I am so protective of my time and my energy, and I only listen to things that make me feel better. I'm selective about TV shows. Like, people joke, I'm going to show you this. Okay. So this is Harry Potter Lego that my nephew built for me. You don't want to know how many Harry Potter things I have around here or how many times I've watched those movies in the background when I feel like doing work on my laptop because it makes me feel better. So I constantly put things into my mind, into my heart. I'm very, even on the weekends, like doing this, like you say, it requires a lot of energy and you're upbeat. So then there's times where I'm like, I don't need to talk to anybody for like 2 days. And I'm not like shutting the world out, but I'm really okay just taking care of myself and taking time for myself. You know, I've got, my kids are bigger, but my dogs, pure joy. I get outside, I move, I do so many different things for myself that are simple pleasures. I love getting massages, all those little things. But most importantly is I'm protective of what I bring into my life. I don't have people in my life that drain me. I can love them, forgive them, and wish them well. But I don't have people that don't add to my life. And, you know, I've learned as I've gotten older, I would say I'm a giver. I like to show up and be supportive and help my family. But if I can't, I can't, and that's okay, right? So it's really learning. Again, it comes back to trust and taking care of yourself. It's that old cliche of the oxygen mask. But, you know, game changers for me, truly, meditation. There are days it's 6 minutes. But the ability to be still and say, I matter, to take this, or just to your point, you talk about exercise and, you know, taking the time to go to the gym or walk the dogs or get outside. It's those simple little things. Again, it comes back to small, consistent action. But, you know, long story short, I just keep good things coming into my life as frequently as possible, whether it's podcasts or books or music. I literally have a Disney playlist because it makes me happy. I know The Greatest Showman by heart. So I do those things. I don't care how redundant or silly they might be to other people. They keep me where I need to be. And I don't know, I'm a generally happy person.
And that's good. I mean, the way you show up is how it's going to enable you to help more people, right? Mm-hmm. And so your day, the way you handle and approach each and every day is a direct reflection of how much you're going to be able to serve people, and as a result of that, how much success you're going to achieve doing that. And you said so much during that was so on point. I was just comparing back to old corporate days myself, where you can't choose anything when you're working in a corporate job. You can't choose who you sit next to, the toxic person that you can't stand, or the toxic manager or boss or whatever. And so that's another. I was just going back to your original comment of freedom. That adds to the liberation and freedom. And the thing is if you're not taking care of yourself first, you, Kim, then there's less of you to give to your clients, to the world, to serve, to spread your vast knowledge and expertise. So this is very important. The point is, I'm just trying to solidify to everyone, is that it's very important to take care of yourself. In fact, someone just commented on that very thing on our live. Sharon Folk said, I'm a giver too, but self-care is important. She's right on point. So great, great stuff. This is amazing and awesome. I love it. Every show is different, and this one is really moving my needle. Really moving my needle. I love this.
Can I add one more thing to that?
Please.
So, like, you know, I was joking around about Harry Potter, and I really do have sort of go-tos based on my mood. And one of the things that I've learned, my therapist taught me, is really to pay attention to what I'm feeling physically is an indicator. Like, I know that when I get angry, it tends to be in my head. When I get sad, it's in my chest. When I'm excited and nervous, it's in my stomach. And so if I'm not totally sure, like if something's off, I can sit back and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm feeling a little unsettled. I need something spiritual to listen to. Or I'm feeling fired up. I need a little Gary Vee. I'm going to go all in today. You know, so it just depends. Or if I'm feeling cerebral and I need to write for a little bit, I put on, you know, rain and wind sounds or whatever. Or so it's just trusting and knowing what do I need. Because we can't, I mean, the whole hustle, I actually had a little F the hustle movement for a while. And then I pivoted it because it comes from that alignment within. So
I always say this from stage, you know, the mind and body, they are a team. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, the mind and body are your team. And yes, your every cell of your body is eavesdropping on your thoughts. And if you're not taking care of your body, your mind is directly affected, just as you so elegantly explained how that works. And, you know, that's why these patterns of successful people include both mind and body. And then, of course, business, mastering the business aspects. And so perfect segue into you know, actual exercise, whatever means that happens to be. How important is it? Have you found it to be now in your life, in your business, and even in your personal life?
Well, you know, it's crazy is I've always been somebody that moves. And then the last few years, I had some really personal heavy stuff going on with one of my kids. And so it took a lot out of me. And I mean, I used to drop the kids at school and I'd go straight to the gym. And then you're sitting all day. And so I hit this point where I was like, you have to make this a priority again. And, you know, even all my years in retail management, I was on my feet all day. I'd walk 11, 12,000 steps, no problem. I like feeling strong. And so I step back and I'm like, you have a lot to do in this lifetime still. You need to get in peak performance, I almost said. But, you know, you need to take care of yourself and step it up. So I've really gotten back into that because I miss that I don't know. Your body feels it when it's like, God, I need to move. I need to move. So, you know, for me, it's really simple. Like I said, taking the dogs a walk. I like to do Pilates. I like doing weights a lot too. And so I've had to step back into that because I wasn't feeling good because I was emotionally exhausted and drained. And I, the flip side of that, Brian, is that I didn't judge myself for that. I was really in survival mode. And this isn't talking way back when I lost my husband, but this is just the last few years. And so there was a lot of survival mode. And I just allowed myself to do the best I could, to be honest with you. And I didn't judge myself, which I think has gotten me to this place where, like, I'm ready to rock and roll now. Like, life is good. I feel so grounded in where I'm going that that has to be the priority in order to do the things I want to do in my life.
Yeah, I can't agree more. And I love how you're talking about judging yourself, not judging yourself. I have had so many clients in the fitness space. I have a 90-day to peak performance program that includes fitness and nutrition and mindset with NLP to get the first two of these patterns rock solid. And one of the things I always tell them, because there are certain times when they can't do all 10 reps, let's say. Maybe they can't do 10 mm-hmm. push-ups. And that's like, and then they come to me and they're like, they feel all downtrodden. They're beating themselves up inside. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. Let me ask you something. Did you actually try and did you give it everything you had to get those 7 reps in that you did successfully get in? Well, yeah, but I didn't get 10. Wait. But you did? You put everything you had into those 7? They go, well, yeah. I said, well, don't kick yourself in the butt for that. Instead, and I tell them to literally do this, put their hand up, raise it up, do it now, turn it back, reach back behind you and pat yourself on the back for those reps you did do. And I have them say it out loud, good job, and then their name. And get in the habit of praising ourselves. We are our own worst enemy, aren't we, when it comes to self-talk.
Yeah, this is another one. My therapist is like this genius, but I was telling her a story one time that I was very proud of the fact that I had started catching the negative self-talk, right? So I would catch myself doing it and I was like, freaking knock it off. Okay. Like I would shut myself down. She goes, okay, that's good. But what if you said, oh, sweetie, it's okay. And I was like, oh, that's a lot nicer, you know? And so learning those little tricks. And so yes. I would catch myself and I was really stressed. I'm like, Kim, it's okay. You're tired. Let it go. Or, you know, like I'm a big juicer. I have been juicing. Like, I mean, I do tons of green juices. I make my own juices. And I've been doing that for almost 5 years now, pretty consistently. And I'm like, I get some really good nutrition. I know I'm doing something good. So, you know, it's allowing yourself that acknowledgement and we're human.
Yeah. And it's so important to give yourself acknowledgement, to give yourself, you know, to be okay with what you did do. You're going to change every day. You're going to be tired some days. There are days you're just not going to have, you know, you have those days where you feel like you're in the zone and everything's going right. And then you have the other days where the opposite is true. And that's when we want to then start kicking ourselves in the butt, so to speak. And what you just said was spot on. The key is just being aware that you're doing it. That's number one. And then number two is a quick reframe. Like you said, oh, that's okay, sweetie. Or, you know, or just the opposite. You know, it's like, oh boy, you really just didn't make it to the finish line. And however, I made it quite a ways farther than I was before I started. So, you know, hey, give myself credit.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just, we always beat ourselves up. So when you get into that, all of these mindset tools and techniques that we're discussing, Kim and I right now, you can put into play right now, everybody watching, everybody listening, not that you can put them in play, you should, and make it a point to put them in play. Be aware of your negative self-talk. You know, we're here to help. This is what this show is all about, to provide value to you. And it's not going to help you if you don't put what you learn into action. It's one thing to learn. It's another thing to do. So we highly recommend you do both. All right. I already know. I can already, well, I'm pretty sure that you're quite an avid reader. You've already made good comment about that. What book what book are you reading now? Or what was the last book you read that had an impact?
Well, I just finished This Is Marketing by Seth Godin. Was so good. I love Seth Godin's work. I love his message. Sometimes he's hard on Audible because he's so chill and mellow. But This Is Marketing is one of those books that I listened to completely and then I bought it. And he has a saying, and I think this is in the book, where he says, content marketing is the only marketing left. So maybe that's probably why. But it really, his whole philosophy just comes back to there are psychological triggers in marketing and why we buy and all of those things. But it's kind of that doing the right thing is always the right thing. But he makes you look at it. And he is so great at telling stories about companies who have done the opposite of what everyone expects and how it's worked. And so that was fantastic. I just started reading Essentialism. And Greg, I can't remember his last name. So yeah, I read a ton of books. But This Is Marketing was fantastic. And I'm reading Essentialism. I do Amazon loves me. I'm like, oh, I listen to the Audible. I need the hardback book. Or I'm like, oh, but then I want it on my Kindle too, so I can read it in bed. It's just ridiculous. So I've got Jay Abraham's book that I'm reading too. How to Get All You Want Out of Everything You've Got or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I read a lot and I'm always reading a novel too.
Oh, that's awesome. So I love how you mix, you know, pleasure and business. And you've said that from the onset, that you do things that make you feel good and make you happy. And that's so important, because if you're not happy during the day, then what's the point? What's the point of all this? Really? I mean, when it comes down to it, it's refreshing to hear you, you know, just be that transparent and say, hey, if it doesn't make me feel good, I'm not doing it. So that's it. And that's the way everyone should live, to a degree. Kids, you know, that's different. You got to pay attention and do what your parents tell you, but even if you don't like it. It's interesting you said Seth Godin, because I have not yet read a book by him, and I just purchased, was it today? Yesterday, a book by him called The Dip. Have you read that one?
Yep. I have not read The Dip. I have read All Marketers Are Liars. It started out as something else. I've read Purple Cow, and I've got a few of his books, but I've heard The Dip is really good. I you know what's funny? So I would say, I mean, I've read a ton of business books too. I think this is probably one of my most favorite marketing books of all time from a lot of stuff that I've read. And, you know, the interesting thing too, Brian, is it depends on what you're trying to get from the book, right? In terms of I would say general, and it's a little bit like where we're going right now. I mean, it's not a book on copy. It's not a book on, you know, sales techniques per se, but I loved it. I loved it. I'm seriously thinking I'm going to start doing video Amazon reviews, because I want to get on the radar, because I'd love to interview Seth. So I'm like, I'm going to start doing video Amazon reviews.
That's brilliant.
Why not? Can't hurt.
That is absolutely a brilliant idea. Wow.
It's a big thank you, right?
Yeah. I mean, everyone watching, there's plenty of room to go around. I'm sure Kim wouldn't mind if you nuzzled up next beside her with another video reviewing the same book that she ends up to review. But what a great idea. I mean, talk about getting your exposure out there. And, you know, then people that follow, that is just genius. That is genius. Well, the more I think about it.
Because my other hashtag, Brian, I told you, is everything is content, right? And so what does that mean? If I'm telling people to show up and genuinely be themselves, and then I go and I do a little screen capture of me leaving a video review, I'm like, just give, right? I mean, that's a piece of content for me as well. Not that that's why I'm doing it, but the whole thing is, how can I get leverage? Feels like I'm trying to be sneezy. But it's just... Yes. I want to give. How can I encourage other people to give? How can I show people that this is fun and you can do something with it? So I just play. This all feels like play to me.
I love that. That is just such an absolute phenomenal idea. My gosh. You could do that, repurpose it all over the place, YouTube, have it transcribed and make articles from it. I mean, my goodness, it just goes on and on. Podcasts from it. It could be a podcast, literally, right?
You know, absolutely. Well, and again, then you want to get them interviewed and just keep going. I mean, it's content for your side. Like you said, you can it's kind of limitless what you could do with it.
Yeah. It's like this show, I repurpose onto at least 15 different podcast platforms. It's brilliant. Repurposed and it's put in an ebook form, going to make a book compilation out of it. Wink, wink, Kim, you might be involved in that down the road. Be a co-author. That's a great way to do a collaborative book where you don't even have to put pen to paper or type in the keyboard. You just send it to an editor and say, make a book out of this, please. Thank you very much. So there's so many ways, and repurposing. Oh, we could go on for days on that. I love it, because that's just working smart. And there was, I forgot who it was that said it. It was an author of a book. I can picture his face. Relentless was the title of the book. And he took issue with the saying, work smarter, not harder. He said, who in their right mind came up with that, and who would follow that? He said, no, it's work smarter and harder. I was like, oh, I like this guy. And that just stuck. It just stuck. So I was going to say work smarter, not harder, but no, let's work smarter. Just work smarter and continue to work harder.
Can I add one little snippet, because this is kind of a pet peeve, and I won't go too ranty with the repurposing of content, because there's a lot you see content agencies, and I'm not thinking of anyone specific or calling anybody out, I don't believe in doing that, but where it's like, oh, you know, come and we'll record, you know, 60 videos and we'll repurpose them and we'll do this and this and this and this and this, and then your content's done for the year. Well, the problem with that is that it serves the creator, not the audience, right? Mm. Because I can tell you, there's no way that I would create a video today that I think is going to be valuable in September. I have no idea. So like, I'm a big believer in the, you know, the 12-week year, the 90-day sprint. But I think the repurposing of content that was created with the right intent is gold. Create better content, promote it more, you know, give it more time and attention, maybe repurpose it. It's not about massive quantity, massive pushing, because there's no listening happening then. There's no conversation. There's no dialogue. It's like, well, I'm just going to go make a bunch of stuff, schedule it, push it, and I'm done and I can go do my thing. Well, content's, you need to be present for it to work. Otherwise, it's just noisy. It's different if you have, you know, a massive platform already and you have tons of people following you or a million person email list. I mean, that's completely different. But for the people that are, you know, not there getting started or have something and are just now getting into content marketing and repurposing, just do it with the right intent and then give that you created more time and attention and energy versus massive quantities being pushed. Start listening and having conversations. I don't like the message that it's just about, you know, churn and burn content, push it and leave it. I think as the social platforms have gotten more crowded, algorithms change, you know, you need to be very cognizant of what you're putting where and why you're doing it.
I couldn't agree more. I remember going back, a very dear friend of mine, still a very dear friend, just had a difference of opinion, recommended that I actually find a PLR piece, private label rights, piece that was already written. You already know where I'm going with this. And slap my name as the author and publish it as my own book. And that way you become an instant author. And I'm like, but that doesn't serve anybody. I mean, it just gives me, that seems like so phony to me. And he has the greatest intentions. They're a gem of a person, this person. Mm-hmm. He just bad advice at that moment, in my opinion. And so I'm actually deep in the throes of writing my first full-length book. I'm about two-thirds of the way through it. And I wanted to ask you that question regarding that. I'm curious, genuinely curious. What do you say to those who have books or have written a book or are in the process of writing a book about repurposing content of their book into like blog posts and articles and those kinds of things? Or should they still just do what comes to them in that moment?
No, I mean, I think that's super smart, right? But that's taking a book that you created with the right intention and and it was like, I want to serve people with this book. So how can I get the book into more hands? That's marketing. The repurposing I look at it that it's just marketing. I mean more of where it's like, show up, let's record, you know, 3 to 5 minute videos. We'll get the audio, we'll transcribe it. And it's like, I'm going to tell you, I did that test because, so I have a Facebook group and we ask people, what's your biggest challenge with content? I have thousands of answers now. They're pretty redundant at a certain point. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take 10 of those. And like, I got all into it, right? I even changed my shirt mid video. So it's like, I look like I was filming on different days. And it's the way I talk, I cut myself off and stuff. It was so much more work to take that audio and try and turn it into a decent blog post. Not to mention I talk quickly and I was trying to keep it under 3 to 5 minutes. And I was like, this is garbage. I literally recorded 10 videos. I'm like, I am not publishing any of these other ones. And I thought it would have been so much more beneficial had I taken the time to write, because I enjoy writing now. I was never a bad writer in school, but like my first blog post was a paragraph. It was heinous. It was like a robot wrote it. And so I enjoy the process though of doing it. And I think it didn't serve anybody. It was like this generic, like, question and answer. It's like, take the time to answer the question thoroughly. And then, I don't know, drive traffic to that post, promote it, ask questions, see if you can get some engagement, like do something more with it. Maybe if you've taken that post and it was really good, and then you want to go record a video because you'd like to have the video for it, that's different. But the natural intent for the post was to solve a problem for somebody, not how much content can I get out quickly and fast. It was horrendous. I was like, that was the biggest waste of time. But I learned, right? I know what not to do.
Yeah, and that's good. And you learned very quickly. You did one session of – so I get it. I get what you're saying now. It was just churn and burn, like putting out content just for the sake of putting out content and no other reason, just so that you can have more quantity. That's really, yeah. And you can tell when someone's not into it. It's too transparent that way. So this is great advice, and you know, it's gonna go right in the face of a lot of people who want to do as much as they can to automate everything. I know I am an automation freak. I love automating everything I possibly can, and I finally learned the hard way that automation does not give you very good sales. It just doesn't work. It's a relationship business.
Exactly. I'm sorry to jump in. This is no. where. But so because it's funny you say that. And, you know, we were talking for everybody watching. I was asking Brian before because I'm getting like obsessed with automation and I believe in segmenting. And I think we're getting to this place where it's about quality subscribers and not so much quantity. That's not going to do any good. But if you have, it kind of goes back to the 1,000 True Fans article, right? But in the case of being smart and keeping engaged and having a conversation with people, those automations to me are brilliant. If you're paying attention to how people are behaving and then you make an offer based on a behavior that, but you can't automate you, right? Like
correct.
You have to do you. And so that's where I don't know. I just show up and it's like, it's a work in progress forever. So I think like what you're doing with automations is gold. I think so many more people could see, you know, another $500 a month if they set up a couple automations and made an offer from, you know, a follow-up sequence maybe. And it's so those little things, because those can change lives. Somebody may be like, this is not working. Oh my gosh, this is working, you know. So does that make sense? I think your automations that you're doing can be gold. But then there's other ones just like pushing to social platforms.
Right.
Yeah, I think repurposing is great, but I think there's also some value in showing up and manually posting and testing and being there to see if you can get a conversation going. So you have to test it.
Totally agree. Showing up is so important. I preach it and teach it myself. Just show up, like physically, mm-hmm. personally. Automation, I use it more in the back end to systematize the business, not so much for the selling process. It's part of it.
Yeah.
It's a part of it, of course, to keep, you know, things fresh and in front of their mind. You know, there are just reminder emails that you can write that aren't, they don't need to be deep and they don't have to be current, but they're just reminders. Hey, I noticed you haven't taken action based on automation telling you that they haven't taken action. Things like that, that really help streamline and make your life easier. For me, automation is about more freedom, right? It's kind of like a vehicle. You know, it takes time and it takes money to maintain and update and change the oil. But your vehicle will run smoother longer with an oil change. It's similar with automation. There's actually a lot of upfront time and investment of both time and money and testing to thoroughly get it working. But I'll tell you what, the moment it's dialed in, it is like the sky's open and the harps are playing. You're just like, oh, this is awesome. And now it's Absolutely. Automated. And you basically do a few little manual steps to make the whole thing run. And I'm huge on it for that, definitely. Mm-hmm. And getting help. I have three apprentices now working with me that help me in different areas of marketing, social media. I watch everything they do. I make sure that it's in my value stream. It's not going to be anything. I have memes and pictures. I ensure that if there's any women on it, that they are clothed. And, you know, there's certain value systems that I want to be reflective of not only my business but of myself. And just – yeah, automation from many different standpoints that is so beneficial. And yes, you can use it in the sales process, but what you just said is combine it with personal showing up in person,
right.
on mm-hmm. lives, in interviews, you know, and be there present at the moment. Like even when you're typing in a new blog post, that's you being present and there and showing up. You were about to say something.
I was just thinking in terms, you know, with the sales piece and all of those things that – to your point, like your onboarding for the show was just, it was a system. It was beautiful. I was like, this is really gold. So that is super valuable. And I think what we have to remember is, I don't know about you, but when I find somebody that I get turned on to, and I'm like, I just want to consume them. I'm like, okay, they've got a podcast I can binge. I want this. And so sometimes when people are showing you that I listened to this, I read this, I like this, they, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, you pick up a new hobby. Here's a great example. So, you know, I launched this plan or whatever. And part of my previous life, I actually owned a scrapbook store from 1998 to 2000. I was an art major for a while. I've got this real crafty side of me, right? So I started getting into journaling last year and I got into watercolors. And then I was like, I'm going to go back to lettering. actually had some font stickers that I designed when I had the scrapbook store. So ask me how many pen sets I've bought, Brian, in the last 6 months, because, right, I got really into it. So I want to hear from the pen company when they've got a new product. I want to hear from the people that I'm watching on YouTube who literally have a million subscribers because they're showing their layouts and their spreads or whatever. So the point being, when somebody comes into your space and they're really hungry and they're consuming that, give them the opportunity to take it a step further is kind of what I mean from the sales perspective. Yeah. In that's where automations can be magical, because you can personalize someone's journey based on how they've interacted and engaged with what you've already provided them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's magic. You're right. Magic's a great word for it, especially when you have it all dialed in and working. You actually pointed out one of the holes in the automation because I made a change, because you got an email you shouldn't have.
Oh.
Because you had already taken the action, and I looked it up and I said, oh, there it is. I found it. So thank you for pointing that out. So that it,
you're welcome.
It doesn't...
I was just like, I did submit this, right?
I know. The email says, I know, we all get busy sometimes. And, and I'm like, huh, I know she did, because I saw that come in. I was notified that you finished. And I'm like, that's interesting. I missed something somewhere. So I'm constantly, nonstop, fine-tuning, refining, and improving. And I love it. And it has to be. It just gives a level of professionalism. And I wanted to stand out from above. And I'm not in competition with anybody, but I've seen too many other lives on where they pull out their phone. There's wind in the background. They're walking somewhere. I'm like, wow. Okay. I mean, it depends on what they're trying to achieve. I get it. I wanted this to be, for me, the important thing was you, Kim. My important thing is for my guests to look the best, the brightest, the most colorful, to look the most professional, to have, you know, a professional setting within to, you know, bring your juice, your magic to the world. It's important to me, so I put a lot of time and effort to make sure it was quality, and that's what drove me to do it. Not for me personally, it's to make my guests shine in the light that they should shine in. So,
well, you've done a great job.
Thanks so much. Enough about that and me, because it's about you. There's one question I absolutely have to ask you. I know we started a couple minutes late, so we're going to go a couple minutes longer, if that's okay with you.
I'm great.
Oh, I could go for another hour or two. For everybody watching, just stay on. We might go. We'll honor everyone's and respect everyone's time. But there's one thing that I noticed time and again. You know, how many times have you, Kim, been to like a seminar, a networking event, a webinar, where they talk about, you know, the importance of marketing. And they kind of skate along the surface of different forms of marketing, different approaches of marketing. But how often do they do that, and you walk away not knowing exactly what the heck you're supposed to do to successfully market? Like, give me some.
What did they say?
Yeah, give me something like tangible. Where do I start? What tool? Because to be honest, there are many, many, many avenues and forms of marketing out there, and of those many, there are quite a few that can be used successfully. And so it's just a matter of picking one that works for your business and starting there. And if you find that it works, continue with it, and then look for more. For you personally, how do you go about marketing your business? You know, what really has been your most successful form of marketing that someone else could emulate and maybe model your success from?
Podcasting, hands down. For a while, I did a done for you podcast service. I don't do any service work anymore. And it was so easy to sell because I believe in it 150%. It was something that, and I like video too, so I'm not anti-video by any means, but there's something about the fact that there's like this intimate conversation when I'm listening to a podcast, like the world is not, I'm not paying attention. I'm doing what I'm doing, but the bottom line is it's an intimate conversation. You can take it wherever you go. We're all time starved, right? And so it's something that you can do passively. Like I love, it's funny. Like, you know, my kids are bigger now. We go up to visit my parents. It's 2 hours away. I'm all, you good? You good? Like I'm listening to something, you know, and I love them to death, but I'm like, to me, it's like 2 hours in the car. What can I listen to? And again, sometimes it's something spiritual. Sometimes I don't do a lot of novels, audiobooks anymore. But there's something about podcasting. And I think it's, you know, it's fun. When I started doing the podcast, then people would read and they're like, I can totally hear your voice now when I read your writing. And they get to know you because you hear the intonations, right? And so I think there's something about the way it registers. I just think, you know, where things are heading, We've got voice search coming up. You know, you've got Amazon Alexa skills, which I haven't touched yet. I am committed to doing that. But there's something about podcasting that I just think it's neat. It's this intimate conversation versus a video that you have to be super focused on. You can take it with you wherever you want. It's very easy to consume. But what's unique about the podcast is, you know, it's kind of like texting or even emails. It's like you can interpret things how you want, but when you get to hear someone's the way they say that, you know, and here's a great example. I'll never forget. I don't know. I was 22 or something. I was on the phone. I was at home. My mom's like, I have never heard the word totally used so many of my times in my life, because I can say totally, totally. Oh my God, totally. Right. So you can, and you hear that in someone's voice and you're going, I know. Right. So you get to really, I don't know why I'm so on right now. I'm sorry,
That's great.
You really can pick it up. But podcasting, I just think it's this intimate conversation. And it was like, in a way, I felt like I was cheating after a while. I'm like, I'm totally getting like this hour of coaching from somebody that I want to know more about this topic. And there's a, I don't want to say the perception, this influential perception because of who you've had on your show, who you're connected with. Mm. And you have no idea. I can't tell you how many podcast interviews have led to a good friendship that I had no idea where it was going to go or what was going to happen, but I liked what somebody was doing. I wanted to know more about the topic. I had an audience. I had a platform. I mean, it was great. Somebody reached out to me. There's a book called SEO for Growth by John Jantz of Duct Tape Marketing and Phil Singleton. Phil and I had this amazing podcast interview. He referred me to be on Duct Tape Marketing. My podcast downloads shot to 30,000 a month when I was on Duct Tape. It didn't sustain. But the point is, I was on Duct Tape Marketing. So you just don't know where those things are going to connect. And you're simply, it's like doing your show.
Yeah.
I just like podcasting because I think it's a lower point of entry than video interviews and shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's much easier to start up and execute. Don't have to get all dressed up, you know, and put on the good threads and
do my hair.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I spent hours, you know.
Well, you know, and you've got Anchor on your phone now. I mean, it's free. You can monetize it. Anyways, I will not keep selling podcasting. I have nothing to gain from it, but I think it is easy for people to jump in.
And you, it sounds like your successful method is an interview style format in podcasting.
Yes and no. I think my ego is too big for just an interview. So I do a solo show 1 week and then I do an interview and I do a full hour long solo show. And it's funny because some of those will have better downloads. It depends. So here's a great example. So I launched a physical planner, right? And we did a Kickstarter, and I've so accepted the fact that I never give myself enough runway for marketing. It was a great eye opener. We didn't hit the Kickstarter funding, but the product's taken off. So I did a whole podcast episode, and it was why a failed Kickstarter led to a success, or how a failed Kickstarter led to a successful product. And I just told my story, and it was therapeutic to write. I realized we did a whole hell of a lot of work and accomplished a ton, but massive market validation. This happened from end of August to December. Like we did it. We did this. And so it was really therapeutic. And so I just shared that whole journey. And I said, I probably wouldn't do a Kickstarter again. This is why, whatever. So, you know, I like doing those solo shows too, because I peel back the curtains. It's, you know, like this sucked, or guess what? I had a huge win. And people go along that for that journey with you. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's so true. Stories, even if they're not true, if you're just telling a story, sell. It's something I learned speaking from stage that kind of blew my mind. The concept blew my mind originally was, well, I just want to like cram them full of content, give them content. Nope. Dial it back, bro. Let's do some, let's inject a story here. Let's put one here. Let's put one here. And I'm like, yeah, but the stories all have a purpose in those cases. They're always themed appropriately to move into the next or segue into the next topic. But stories are what bring people and keep them on.
See, and I'm getting way too excited. I'm sorry. So another book that I would recommend for people is Story Brand by Donald Miller. Story Brand. It is amazing. And then he has a free resource that will help you create your story brand. But this was a total game changer for me. This was something I listened to driving my daughter down to LA. I was coming back. I'm like, I'm going to listen to Story Brand. We've all heard the hero's journey, right? And so you think of the hero's journey, but he flipped it on its head for me because he said, it's your audience that needs to see themselves as the hero. You shouldn't be the hero when you're using the hero's journey, when you're talking to your audience and creating content, you know? And so, of course, my example is always Harry Potter. I'm like, okay, so my guest, my reader, my listener, whatever, they need to feel like Harry in this story, and they need to be able to put themselves in my place. And so it's something that, you know, content, and even through teaching, it's framing it in a way that somebody can relate to it and see themselves in that story. And so that's what I've done for myself. It's like when I share the crap, it's like, oh, I'm not the only one who's failed is what
yes.
you're hoping other people feel. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You're becoming relatable. People can relate to mm-hmm. you. You know, they see you, you know, they hear you on podcasts. They see you all over the web. They assume you're wildly successful and your life is perfect. And, you know, if they cannot relate to a perfect life, then often they will just shy away and say, well, they're too good for me. I can't even approach them. They're just too big for me. The key is to be as transparent as possible without getting too personal. But it's so cool that, you know, what you're saying is so perfect, because it's just as important to express our failures as it is our successes, because that mm-hmm. makes us human, and that connects that connection. You know, the know, like, and trust factor, it just really solidifies that. And it does it the way you're talking about it, in a very authentic way, which is key. You know, you don't want to be yeah. phony about this. My goodness, we ran away with time.
Sorry, I could keep going.
Hey, that's the beautiful thing about doing it in this venue. I'm not on a radio show where we had to cut it, you know, 8 minutes ago. We can go as long as necessary. But there is one final question I would like to ask you. I've asked it of all the previous guests. And it's a big one. It's a heavy hitter, and it's something that everyone should stick on for. Before I do that, though, real quick, let's get into the prize, because I haven't even gone to that with the 5-star Mexican resort. And here it is. It's on the screen for these of you watching right now. If you're watching live, this is how you enter to win a 5-star vacation stay or a 5-night vacation stay in a 5-star Mexican resort. And you can do it one of two ways. You can go to either the web and go to reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation. It's on the screen right now for you. Again, that's reachyourpeakllc.com/vacation. Or if it's easier for you to stay with us on this live show, and go to your phone and text PEAK, the word PEAK, P-E-A-K, to the number 661-535-1624. Again, that's the word PEAK, P-E-A-K, to 661-535-1624. Definitely, yes, do this now. Go ahead and go on your phone. Open a new tab on your browser to keep listening, because you don't want to miss the answer to this question. And by the way, this is brought to us by our good friends at powertexting.com, Jason and Rhonda. Phenomenal, phenomenal people. Love them dearly. And they have a phenomenal service called powertexting.com. In fact, of course, I use that service. It's an amazing service. So I highly recommend you check that out. Anyone that's in marketing or an entrepreneur, it is absolutely a godsend for me and my business anyway. So let's get back to the star of the hour right here. It's not me. It's Kim. And just to kind of level set it, to ease any tension that might have been brewing based on what the heck is this question going to be that he's building up. Just so you know, Kim, there is no such thing as a wrong answer. It's impossible. And in fact, it's just the opposite. The only right answer is yours. And what I found to date, that every guest I've asked the same exact question of has had their own unique answer. It's amazing. It's really, really interesting. So are you ready now that I built it up like that?
I'm all good to go. Hit me.
And if it takes you a moment to come up with the answer, it's okay. Don't worry about dead okay. air time. We're all friends and family here. So here it is, Kim. How do you, Kim, define success?
Living life on my terms.
Take your time and think about it.
Living life on my terms is success.
I think that's a new record.
Yeah, I'm not too, there's not a lot of dead air with me, as you can probably tell.
I love it. And so some answers are similar, but none are exactly the same. I've heard of others say freedom. Others would say something and then start elaborating, and then you'd realize, okay, the real answer was later down the road. Mm-hmm. Yours is definite. There's no
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that. You're absolutely certain. Right. You already know what success means to you. And that's a great definition. I'm going to compile a list of all these answers and make another, you know, sub, like a booklet kind of thing of how do you define success? Learn from the most successful people, you know, entrepreneurs that have walked the planet, what their version of success is. Maybe you'll find yours there too. Kind of something like that.
That's so awesome.
Thank you for that. And thank you. You know, we had that prize to give away. You also, I noticed, had something that you would like to offer for those who are watching. And it's, I'm going to bring up the site. It's a 6-part free course, and I'll just basically turn it over to you once I get it up and on the screen here in just a moment. And there we go. So go ahead and take it away and tell folks how to grab this amazing resource.
So you can go to contenttraffickickstarter.com. And I've had a couple people with the redirect for if that doesn't hit. It's kimdoyle.com/content-traffic-kickstarter. Sorry for the wordy URL there. The direct should take you there. This is the whole part of this free course. And I went deep in this. It's 6-part. There's like 30 modules, but they're all like, you know, 5 to 8 minutes. They're not super long. But my goal is to get people to start publishing. I want you to just show up. And so I talk about using the different platforms, and we go into like, you can look at the pulp, the modules, like getting started if you're not sure, Jedi mind tricks, because I really believe in mindset. Same thing. You know, you may think you've got nothing to say, but to quote Dr. Seuss, no one is youer than you, right? And so that's who we are is the only differentiating factor we have now with content, to be honest with you. You know, so I talk about growing an audience, asking the right questions, being asked the right questions, and how to use those questions, platform persuasion, what you're doing on the different platforms, and then the secret that most people ignore. So this is, it's a completely free course. You get an idea of who I am based on it. I just want people to get over their fears and their thoughts of, you know, what content is, just being afraid to hit publish. You just need to start doing it. And so that's my goal with this course, is to get you to take action, start creating content, start finding your voice. It, again, is through the doing that you're going to get clarity and you're going to get stuff nailed down way quicker than thinking you're going to get hit with the lightning bolt. So I love content marketing, obviously, but it's a completely free course. And I think you'll get a ton out of it. I've had plenty of people tell me I should have sold this. But I really want people to get a good feel and build a solid foundation for content marketing.
Fantastic.
Oh, and I do have other testimonials that I've not updated. But I thought this was kind of funny when I was building the landing page.
And I love the fact that you have a sense of humor to go with everything else. And you keep it light. You keep it real. But look at all of this. My goodness. Look at all of that content. And she's asking of you to pay a whopping $0. All you have to do is click on the button and follow the instructions. Thank you so much for that. That is amazing. Amazing. And what I'm going to do real quick is once I get you back on the screen is I'll put up the link that you discussed on the live so folks can then just click on that and go straight to it. Awesome. Okay, now finally, what I would like to do is have you, Kim, give our viewers and listeners what is the best way, your preferred way, for them to get in direct connection with you, to contact you?
I was going to say Facebook, but I mean, you can email me, kim@kimdoyle.com. I would prefer that, to be honest with you, because if I read it in Messenger and I'm out and about and I forget, I can't mark it as unread. I am pretty much Kim Doyle, and it's D-O-Y-A-L everywhere online. You can join us in our Facebook group, Content Creators. I'm pretty easy to find, I would say. My website's just kimdoyle.com, but email is probably the best, to be honest with you. I feel a little bit old school. I use Messenger all the time, and I love it, but especially if we're not connected as friends, it might be harder to get that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I love it. We have a co-star in the show now.
Goodness.
Real quick.
They're really quiet. I'm sorry. You had all these great rules, and I'm like, they were like, shh, but we should have been off, right? So.
Hey, it's authentic. Yeah, that's some saying, hey, you're supposed to be off. Let's get going. It's walk time. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic, Kim. Can't thank you enough. This has just been an absolute joy. I kid you not. I'm absolutely truthful. This has been, what an eye-opener. I've got notes. I've got books. I hope everyone else did the same and took notes and are going to go read those books. Another one by Seth Godin I'm going to grab as soon as we get off the air here. For those of you watching, listening, I can't wait till the next show and our next amazing guest expert. But for now, the woman of the hour, Kim Doyle, thank you. Thank you so very much for coming on and just raining down all that value for everyone watching and listening. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, for everyone else, we'll see you again next time on the Mind Body Business Show. That's it for now. Be blessed. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been the Mind Body Business Show with Brian Kelly.